by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
Cairo Nights, how you doing, everybody? Happy Monday. My name is Jonathan Weir. Happy to be with you tonight. Yeah. You know, just heard the news report that the NBA is talking about expansion. Probably 3 years, they'll announce something. And then 2 years after that, there'll be a team. And Seattle might be one of those cities that they expand to. And I kind of wonder, like, do you want them? I'm not even kidding. I would love to have an NBA team back in Seattle.
So would I.
But it makes me so angry when I think about they left, like, oh, we can't get the funding for a stadium. Sorry, moving to Oklahoma. That's such a cop-out. They do that in so many different cities where the owner wants to take money from another city to move there. And, oh, they're promising me this big venue. And I'm saying that as somebody from St. Louis. The Rams did that to us, and the Cardinals did that. The football Cardinals did that to us before that. It's such a cop-out. Like, you don't give a city enough time to build a new arena and then go, they don't have the money. They don't have the money. I don't know. Just, we would have had Kevin Durant, Westbrook, and James Harden playing together in Seattle. That would have been awesome. They probably would have won a championship because they would be playing in a decent city. That's all I'm saying. Not Oklahoma City. I don't know if I want them. That's all I'm saying. I'm not speaking on behalf of Seattle. I'm just speaking on behalf of myself. The hell with them. And if they came back, would you call them the Sonics still? Would it be like, you call them the Tails, because that was the sequel to the Sonic the Hedgehog game. Oh, millennial humor. One day you will get it once you Google what the hell I'm talking about. How you doing, Matt Butler? How was your weekend?
I am doing all right. Had a pretty calm weekend. Beautiful around town. Just, I don't know, hanging out and hanging on.
Nah, that's nice. I had a good weekend. I was, again, listening to the news, as I often do when I'm on this station. And the little girl that was lost in Seattle, I'm going to say this wrong, Cleelem? Cleelem? I'm sorry.
I'll let you work it out.
I'm new.
This is too amusing. Boy.
There's so many different ways to pronounce that. It's only six letters. I'm getting them all wrong. Cleelem. Anyway, she was lost for 30 hours, lost on Sunday, and then they found her, and it's fantastic news. And my heart goes out to those parents, because the most terrifying experience of my life was when we moved to Boston, specifically Lexington, Massachusetts, and it was my 10-year-old son's first day of school, and he thought that he was supposed to be walking home, and he wasn't. And we were going to pick him up. So he just took it upon himself to just kind of skedaddle, just start walking home. I go to pick him up. He's not there. I have no idea where he's at. I don't know the city. I know he sure as hell doesn't know the city. I'm freaking out, driving around, trying, calling the cops. They're out looking for him. My wife goes out. She starts looking for him and happens to see him. Amazingly, on the street, like adjacent to where we live, like he had actually figured out how to get home, which was a relief on two fronts. One, because he was safe and sound. And two, I was like, oh, good. He can just walk home from now on. And I don't have to go get him. I ain't doing that anymore. Woo! I'm done. But I always thought, like, that moment, it's this strange choco vanilla swirl of emotions as a parent where you're equally mad at your kid, but also so relieved that they're okay, that you just are like, you little, I love you so much. I'm just saying, to that girl who was lost, I don't know how she ended up being lost and what was going on, but this would be the perfect time to ask for a pony. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. This would be the perfect time to sit your mom and dad down. You're like, hey, you know, I was lost. That was harrowing. Oh, 30 hours by myself. It was basically Gary Paulson's hatchet out there at Cleelem River.
It's Cleelem, by the way.
I got it right the first time! You monster! I got it right the first time, Matt Butler!
It's Monday. I gotta have some fun somehow.
Clea alum River. And I was out there fending for myself. Like Nell, Jodie Foster, out in the woods. Started to speak my own language and everything. You know what would make up for it? Pony. I'm just saying a pony. I would like a pony.
Who wouldn't love a pony?
Who wouldn't? I mean, I wouldn't. They're weird little like dog horses, but I mean, I don't know. Seems like I'm glad I have sons, because like if this was my 6-year old, he'd be like, can I have a dinosaur? Like, no, they don't exist. Sorry, buddy.
A pterodactyl, perhaps. That would be exciting.
Yeah, maybe. You know what we have? We have turkeys in the yard. Those are the descendants of dinosaurs. Go try to play with one of those things. Go see it. Not peck your face off. Anyway, I don't know where we're going with this. You know what? I'm enjoying this. I'm going to stick here. Little girl was found. That's a great story. I was actually left behind one time at a baseball game. My dad, I was 10 years old. What is it about being 10 years old when this happens to you? It's got to be something, because it's probably like you're just old enough for your parents to take their eyes off of you, but not old enough to know what the hell you're doing. So you might get lost. So I was 10 years old. I had a baseball game out in Muscoda, Illinois. I live in Belleville, or lived in Belleville, Illinois, about 30 minutes away. I threw my little arm off and poured my heart out on the mound, trying to win a game, and we lost. Came down to final out, final pitch, kid hit a double, scored. They won 3-2. I was heartbroken. I was sad. My dad was the coach, and he told me to rub some dirt into it and go to my mother, because she was going to drive me home. So I go over to my mom, who has a 2-seater truck, and she already had my older brother with her. And she goes, I'm not driving you home. Why did your dad tell you that? No, go. You're supposed to go home with him. So I run back to where my dad is, and he's pulling away. He is driving out of the parking lot, and I start chasing him. And I start realizing what's going on. I'm being left behind, and I start crying. I look like the saddest, like T-1000. I'm like chasing after the car, waving my arms like, Dad! Couldn't catch up. Just saw him drive off. And there's no, I'm sorry, Dad. There's no way you didn't see me in the rear view. Oh, I just thought it was some other kid from your team wearing the exact same uniform and looking like you. So I run back to where my mom was, but she'd already left too. So I'm stuck out there in the middle of nowhere. This is before cell phones. I have no idea what to do. I go back to the concession stand, and they go like, okay, so what's your phone number? I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember. So we had to like call my aunt, who then gave him my phone number. It was a whole mess. My dad didn't come to pick me up. My mom did. And I got to tell you, I think it's one of the reasons there's a huge rift in our relationship. I'm not even lying. I'm just saying, as far as parenting advice, I'm not very good for most things, guys. But I will say this. If you leave your children at a baseball game in Muscoda, Illinois, after they lost the game, if you leave them there, you be the one to go back and get them. Otherwise, they're going to think that it was on purpose, and I'm still 75% convinced that it indeed was. All right, moving on. Speaking of raising children, according to MyNorthwest.com, Seattle ranks among the most expensive cities in the United States to raise a child. It's actually 34th, which doesn't sound that bad until you factor in that it's out of 381 metro areas that were studied. Quote, In the Seattle-Tacoma metro area, parents should be ready to spend around $25,000 on one child in a single year. Nearly half of that goes to childcare, which costs more than $11,500 per year. This is based on the MIT Living Wage Calculator. And I went into that, and it's actually really interesting. If you go and look at the numbers on the Living Wage Calculator from MIT, you can go to livingwage.mit.edu. And specifically the one for Seattle, this is really interesting. You would think it would be kind of the same. But if you have two children and you are two adults, but there's only one of you working, there's one breadwinner in the entire house, you need to earn in Seattle $43 an hour. Specifically, actually, $43.85. Which is a lot. That's considerable. Over $300 a day. It's about, I can't do the math, but I think it's close to like $90,000 a year. And I guarantee you, that's still not enough.
You can probably tell by my reaction what emotions this evokes in me.
I'm assuming you're thinking it'd be more affordable to get a vasectomy at this point.
Yes, something along those lines.
But here's what's interesting. So one adult needs to earn $43.85 to be the breadwinner per hour to be the breadwinner for the house. But two adults, if you combine it, need to earn $28.58 an hour.
Hmm.
Which comes out to more. Comes out to about $47 an hour versus 43.
Yeah.
So it's a $4 difference, $2 per adult that they need to make more, because if there's both parents working, guess what happens? You need to have daycare.
Right.
That ain't cheap.
No, yeah. It is not.
My wife and I made that decision a while ago that, I mean, as long as I was working in this industry.
There was a pause.
Be delicate
there.
With my words there. Thank you. Yep. Yeah. Just Matt.
You didn't
just, want to
play
just
the
hover.
Wrong adjective.
Yeah. Just hover your finger over,
right,
the,
over
dump
the dump
button.
I got it ready to go.
If you would. Ever since I decided to work in this industry and knew that we'd be moving around quite a bit, which we have, I was like, you know, it's not fair to make her have to work. As long as she doesn't have to, as long as the kids, you know. As long as I can make enough money and as long as the kids aren't in school, then she do whatever she wants. She didn't need to have a career. I mean, it's fine. I was happy taking on that mantle. And it surprised me, though, how much the difference was between two parents working versus one. And it doesn't seem very fair, does it? It almost seems like it's not worth it for you both to work.
Yeah.
Because it just ain't, in some respects. $11,000 a year for childcare. And I guarantee you there's somebody out there listening to me right now going, that ain't right. That's way cheaper than it should be. That's only a little under $1,000 a month. That ain't what I'm spending every day for daycare. Especially if you have two kids. Nah. Okay. I'm going to throw this out there. Quick game. Real quick game. That we'll play here, okay? I have a cost of living calculator. This is a fun game to play. I'm sure, Matt, you've done this many times. In radio,
yes.
Just the cost of living between two cities. And I'm going to throw these out there, two local cities. Which one is cheapest to live in? Kent or Puyallup?
Kent.
You think Kent is cheaper to live in than Puyallup?
Yeah.
Actually, Kent is $4,000 more.
Really?
Okay. If you make $50,000 in Puyallup, you have to make $54,000 to live in Kent.
Okay.
So, surprisingly, Kent, a little bit more. All right, Redmond versus Bellevue. So, you make $50,000 and are somehow living in either one of those cities.
Yeah. I don't think they let you in if you make that amount.
I'm assuming you're squatting in somebody's basement.
Yeah.
They left the bulkhead open and you snuck in.
Or you're someone's mother-in-law, and they have mother-in-law quarters for you.
Yeah. Which one is cheaper, Redmond or Bellevue?
I'm going to say Bellevue by a nose.
Bellevue by a nose is correct, but in the opposite direction. It's actually cheaper to live in Redmond. If you make $50,000 in Redmond, you need to make $51,000 in Bellevue. Finally, let's go a little more working class, a little blue collar. Federal Way versus Tacoma.
Federal Way is the cheaper one.
$50,000 in Federal Way would go down to $43,000 in Tacoma.
Seriously?
You got every last one of those wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
My perception is way off.
I didn't think it would be $7,000 or $6,000 cheaper.
I guess Redmond being the home of Microsoft would be more expensive.
You would think so. But apparently Bellevue is where the hoity-toity who don't want to.
Well, I really like
keep having to look down their nose.
That's sort of disappointing because I must have expensive taste and a very low salary. Now I'm depressed. Great. Mm.
On a Monday,
champagne
that's
taste,
perfect day
beer
to be
budget.
Mm. By the way, millennials are buying a lot of houses now, according to this survey. 128,000. Millennials bought a home in Seattle last year, which is double the amount that bought the year before. I honestly thought it was going to be 3 to 6. Like, 3 bought last year, then 6 this year. It's doubled over the last 5 years. According to a recent report from Rent Cafe, more than 128,000, blah, 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 blah. Apparently, it's not just that. The number of births to women aged 30 to 34 increased by 4% from 2020 to 2021 and 5%. So millennials are having more babies too. And they're like, why is this happening? What's going on with this?
Rent Cafe wants to know. Two millennials love each other very much.
Yes, go on.
That's why that happens.
So here's the thing. A lot of people are like, oh, this means the market's turning around. This means that millennials need to stop belly aching about not being able to afford houses because they just said they've doubled the amount of houses they bought, which, by the way, still isn't that much. What's actually happening is this. The age that people are buying houses has gone up incredibly. It went from 31 in 1980. That was the average age that somebody bought a house in 1981 to 47 now. So it's not that millennials are making more money. It's that they're getting old enough to just go, I need to buy a house. I have to buy a house. I'll give up everything to buy a house. It's not the most positive sign. And why would I give you one of those on a Monday on Cairo Nights? We have more coming up next. Talk about politics, and I'm not going to. I'm just going to say this. You can take this for a political take or not, or just take it as marital advice. If your wife, like, accuses you of something, like she accuses you of cheating, like, honey, I found, like, this blonde hair in the car, and I'm a brunette. What's up with that? are you cheating? And you go, no, no. In fact, I've never done anything wrong. I've never even looked at another woman. Every night I bleach my eyeballs so that I can wash out the memory and visage of any woman that I might have encountered that day. How dare, not only have I never even looked at another woman, I've never had an impure thought, never had lust in my heart like some former presidents might have admitted to. I am a perfect person. She would immediately assume you're cheating. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Yes. There's a thing called protesting too much.
Methinks and it's certain people doth too much.
Exactly. Exactly. Again, take that for a political point if you want. I don't care. I'm just saying you could if you wanted to. You could extrapolate something from that. Moving on. I don't want to talk about that. There's a fun headline that I saw today. And I just think we need to talk about this story. The headline is this. San Francisco is now worse than Afghanistan.
Okay. Who knew?
That's according to an immigrant store owner who lost $100,000 to burglars. That, again, happened in San Francisco. It's a man who immigrated to the United States in the 80s and opened up a store in San Francisco in 2003. And he had his store broken into. By the way, he's the co-owner of, and I'm not making up this up, this is the actual name of his business, Cigarettes Are Cheaper.
Does what it says. So like Toys R Us.
It's like Toys R Us because it literally has an R. Well, it's not backwards. Cheaper. This was in San Francisco's Richmond District. He says that somebody broke into his store and stole roughly $80,000 in merchandise, which if you've seen the price of cigarettes lately, that's like two cartons, and $20,000 in cash from his store last week. He reportedly claims that a little more than a half dozen thieves smashed his store windows last Tuesday and had plenty of time, around 20 minutes, to ransack the store. As they know, the police won't do anything. Quote, the politicians need to get a grip on this because it's worse than Afghanistan or Iraq. He just needed to throw that in there. At least in Afghanistan, the Taliban will cut your hand off and people are afraid to commit a crime like this, he said. Okay, so first of all, I don't think you could have a liquor store in either of those countries. And yeah. I know it's a cigarette store, but they also sell liquor there. You couldn't be doing that. I don't know what their policy is on cigarettes, but I definitely know you couldn't be selling liquor anywhere. Second thing is, I hate to say it this way, because I do feel sorry for anybody who's an entrepreneur and somebody who owns their own business, especially mom and pop place like that. It's not like some chain. But do you feel as much sympathy? It's just a thought experiment. Do you feel as much sympathy for him as you would for, say, like a store that was selling used clothes to orphans or something like that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's a cigarette store and you're kind of a death merchant, but I feel quote, bad.
To quote Jesse Pinkman in Breaking Bad, we're selling poison for people who don't care.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's not forcing people to smoke, but he's certainly facilitating their early demise. So I just, it takes a little bit of the edge off
and
of my sympathy.
Too,
that's all I'm saying.
Part of the thing about that quote is, yeah, I mean, not to distract from his loss, and it's a horrible thing. People shouldn't be robbing his store, duh. But it's also in a country with dramatic human rights abuses. You're in a country where at least there's some illusion of the rule of law and human rights. And I wouldn't say that that's somehow better. I mean, it may be personally better for you, but it's not better for the majority of people.
Well, I think we complain a lot about this country and we talk about where it's headed and whether you're on the left or right. I think most, and in fact, that's one of the polls you always see. Most people agree the country's not on the right track. But I think few people would say, yeah, but this guy getting his store robbed proves that we're no better than a place that's literally lorded over by a theocracy where you get your hand cut off for stealing stuff and, you know, women aren't allowed to voice their opinions or vote or anything like that. Now, that's more Afghanistan than Iraq at this point, but it's not like Iraq's that much better. So I don't know. I thought that it was just an interesting headline, and it was an attention grabber, and it doesn't really prove anything other than people are very prone to hyperbole when they're in distress. It kind of reminds me, though, him talking about how much was stolen from his store. It reminds me of James Kehoe. Do you know who that is, Matt Butler?
I should. The name rings a bell, but I couldn't place him.
It's okay if you don't. He's the Walgreens CFO. And he admitted, I don't know if you remember this, but back in 2020 and 2021, Walgreens was saying, we need to hire security. We need to raise the prices on stuff. We need to have everything locked down because people are stealing all of our merchandise. There's huge shrinkage happening. And it's not because it's cold. It is because people are coming into the stores and stealing all our stuff. Well, he later admitted that that might not have been exactly true. He said, in fact, that we probably put in too much security and we might have to step it back. He also said that the shrinkage had stabilized and was a lot less than was being reported.
Well, the chain is. The pool.
I was in the pool. The chain is also now relying on law enforcement for security rather than largely ineffective private companies and is quite happy with where they are. Walgreens did not specify how much of its shrinkage could be attributed directly to theft. And, you know, that's a problem with stores, too, is most theft in stores is actually committed by the people working there, not customers coming in stealing stuff. But it just reminded me of that. Like, how much was actually stolen from you? Was it actually $100,000? Because I know you're selling cigarettes, but it seems like they'd have to steal a lot of cigarettes for it to be $80,000. It seems like they would have to be a lot. And $20,000 and...
Yeah, like, could they carry that much out of the store before they just went out and, you know, they were loading up the trunks, you lock the door behind them, they can't get back in to steal? Like, how do you take that many cigarettes? Is it one haul or is it multiple hauls?
Seriously, like, that's the kind of thing that you would get from a bank heist in a movie. Like, was this De Niro and Val Kilmer?
Sounds like we're bringing back the Prohibition days.
I don't know how much cigarettes are.
Get out of there.
Now, crank it up. It'll be about 10 minutes for the thing to get warm. The old Model T, it'll be chugging in here, though. I don't know. Again, I feel bad for the guy, but also I kind of think that he might be exaggerating how much was stolen from his store, considering he's also exaggerating how bad San Francisco is. If there's one criticism of San Francisco that you could levy, you know where the most expensive place to raise a kid is?
San Francisco.
That's exactly right. You know what number five is? Boston. Seattle, you are at 34. Congratulations on that. The jerks. It's Kyra Knights. How you doing? This is an interesting story from the Washington Post. I don't know if I buy this, but they say that a series of studies have shown that nostalgia is actually good for us. Nostalgia, they say, can promote empathy, foster creativity, build deeper connections, and encourage a sense of community and volunteerism. Nostalgia, according to science, is good for you. Nostalgia can help you put our present into a broader context, induce positive feelings, and reinforce social connections. It can be triggered when smelling familiar scents, blah, 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 blah. I don't know about that. I feel like I'm always like this at the beginning of the month. I get weirdly nostalgic. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's almost like I'm on some kind of cycle and I can predict it. Like for the first 10 days of the month, I'll be kind of mopey. And I don't know what it is other than just the fact that it's a new month and what am I doing with my life or whatever it is. I get kind of, I don't know, sad. Get kind of sad for the past. And I'm trying to pinpoint what it is. One of the things that triggers it a lot, for me anyway, I don't know if this is true for you, is these stupid social media apps and photo apps on your phone. So Facebook will go, hey, look at what you were doing 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Look how happy you were. Look how little your kids were. Weren't they cute and adorable? You could just pick them up and hold them in your arms. And that was so great. And Amazon, I have Amazon photos. So Amazon will be like, hey, look at this. Remember when you didn't used to weigh that much and you could afford a trip to Florida? That was fun. And my mom also just today, God, I love you, mom, so much. But she texted me, was like, hey, look at what I was doing 3 years ago in South Carolina. And I was like, how am I nostalgic for something that didn't even happen to me? And I'm trying to figure out what it is. Why is it when we see ourselves in the past? And by the way, it's stupid because I'm actually am happier now than I was 3 or 4 years ago. I really am. I mean, crap, 3 years ago, we were going through the pandemic.
Yeah.
Had no idea what was going to happen next. It was terrifying. 4 years ago, I was in between jobs. That's a fun experience. I was in between jobs.
On the beach, as they say in our industry.
On the beach. Thank you. 4 years ago, that's where I was and was flat broke. I'm doing fine now. I'm working with you guys. It's awesome. But for some reason, when I see myself 4 years ago, I'm like, oh, look at how happy I was. Oh, those were the days. And I think I know what it is. I think I kind of figured it out. It's because I have no idea from this point right now at 7:52 Pacific time. On the 5th of June, 2023, I have no idea what the next 4 years of my life is going to be like. But I know, looking at me 4 years ago, that the next 4 years are going to be fine. That all of the trepidation and anxiety and worry that I had back then was meaningless.
Interesting. That's an interesting perspective.
Right. And the only thing that matters is how happy I was. Even though I was way more anxious back then than I am now.
For me, if you can believe it. For me, looking at those things, it's just like, wow, you did a much better job when you were younger of faking that you were happy. And now you're getting older and it's all being revealed in the cracks in your face and your skin and your body's going to pot. And now you're not doing a good job of faking it anymore. You are getting old, man.
Oh, man. I will agree with the getting older thing, even though actually I look better now than I did 4 years ago because I lost a bunch of weight. But I found something over the weekend that has freaked me out. There's like this crease in my left earlobe. And I was like, that's a little weird. And so I looked it up. It's something called Frank's sign, and it's linked to cardiomyopathy. So I'm as good as dead. Well, it's not very strongly linked. There's just some studies that say it might be kind of linked, and you know, weight and lifestyle are more important. But I have this crease in my ear. My days are numbered, everybody. Hope you had fun. Hope I'll be back in a few minutes on Cairo Nights. Woo!